That was a huge gap between hello and anything else, wasn't it?
I thought I just
hello.
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 Joseph. Hello. Orange Pete. Jeez. Number 55.
Coming this is number 55.
Coming to you from the hovel outside Oxford.
We're getting on a bit, aren't we? Dear. We were young little rabbit, little things, weren't we?
8,785,000.
Oh, Lord. So, what's coming up on today's show?
Hey? Show? What show?
Sorry.
The show, ridiculous. We're not that old. I wonder if we'll sound that old when we're that old. Do you ever think that? Do you ever think, when I'm really old, will my voice suddenly go very old?
Well, my voice, I've noticed, as the years pass by, seems to be getting deeper and deeper, so maybe...
I remember when your balls dropped.
Hello.
When I met you, you were 37, and then I thought, it's about time his voice dropped.
Boils.
And then they did. Your balls dropped. I remember hearing them next door as well. I thought, there they go, doing. And I thought, thank goodness, because he's been walking. Hello, I'm Mark Cozen. I thought, that's embarrassing for a man with grey hair.
Hello.
Isn't it?
Yeah, but they just get deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So maybe if I make it to a ripe old age, maybe my voice will be so deep that you'll need some sort of special equipment to hear it, because it'll be out of human hearing.
Yeah, apparently our ears get bigger too as we get older. I was watching this.
It's not the only thing that gets bigger.
What else gets bigger, Mark?
I don't think
that gets bigger.
Nose.
I think that gets smaller, to be honest. I think it shrivels.
No.
I was watching this thing on television. It was a really good thing, actually. It was about the Spitfire pilots, and it was just the Spitfire pilots. Why are you laughing?
I don't know.
Why are you laughing? Why did you laugh when I said
Spitfire
pilots?
You're just obsessed with Spitfire and war.
I did watch it. I did watch it.
Brilliant war.
And it was all these interviews with these Spitfire pilots, and they're pretty old. And a good portion of them had been filmed, and since then they died and everything. So it was very, very moving.
Yeah.
And extraordinary people, because obviously they were 19, 20-year-olds when they were saving our arses. But I couldn't help, while watching it and having little tears forming, thinking, wow, these are extraordinary people. They're thinking all their ears were so huge. huge ears.
And so you think
massive ears.
Look at the size of those ears.
Well, they are. Some of them are extraordinary. And I thought, that's what's going to happen to me one day. I think I've started off okay. Because I know. What's that one? That Disney elephant?
Dumbo.
Didn't he keep tripping over his ears if they were so big?
I've not seen Dumbo.
You've not seen Dumbo?
No.
It's the whole thing of it.
I don't
really
like all that Disney stuff. Really annoys me.
Pisses me off.
It's funny, it was so schmaltzy.
Well, it's not all schmaltzy. There was Bambi wasn't...
I don't know if you've seen Bambi either.
When Bambi's mother died, that wasn't very schmaltzy, was it?
No, it was not
very schmaltzy.
Anyway, let's not get onto that.
And then in the next scene... Well, actually, they dug out some other... So Bambi's mother died. I'm just spoiling for people who haven't seen Bambi. But Bambi's mother dies. But they did actually have some other scenes that they'd made, but they cut them out.
Right.
Well, basically, they had the scene where the hunters are sort of cooking Bambi on a spit thing. Bambi's mother on a spit thing.
Yeah.
And they took it out and thought that the kids might find that a bit too vulgar.
Yeah, and then they also edited the whole, that bit coming up to her being... Mm.
Yeah.
Shot.
Yes.
Was there all those other hunters with machine guns?
Yeah.
Just going through the forest, like just machine gunning an entire herd of deer.
Yes. And yes. They didn't do that.
A red mist of blood and entrails.
Fucked up. You are. And fucked like, up. There's a TV show.
It's a bit much for children.
But there's a thing on television, series two thing called. I think it's not. Was it called Summer? Oh fucking hell. It's got zombies running a lot.
Black Summer.
Thank you. Did you watch any of that, the first season of that?
I think I started watching it a couple of years ago when that first one came out.
Mm. It's been a couple of years since.
And I was quite enjoying it. And then I just stopped watching it for some reason. Because I do like all those.
Well, you should have watched it to the end, because it got more and more extraordinary towards the end. It was got really fucking...
Right. Ugh.
And now the new
Maybe
season,
I'll go back to it.
The new season's, it's really good. So they should need to do a catch up, because I'm sure the characters in the new season are kind of left over from the last one, I think. But it's been so long. It's this usual problem. There's too much of a gap between the seasons. You go, are they the ones that survived it at the end, or are they some new ones? But it's
I think the thing that put me off a bit was that I think I watched the first two episodes, and it's like they were introducing characters only for them to just suddenly be
die very killed quickly.
And then disappear. And it's like, oh, yeah. What's going on?
Yeah.
So that was maybe a little bit hard to...
But I think that was part of their thing, is that basically you start to... Yes. It's kind of like Game of Thrones on acid, because you certain characters in Game of Thrones you get to know, and then they die unexpectedly. But this was like very quick. In fact, the first one of the new season started just like that. You thought, oh, who's this chap? Oh, he's gone. I didn't even find his name out. What was his name? Oh, he's gone. Dead. He's zombied. Yeah. Zombied, and now he's been shot in the head. So he's definitely out of it now. He's not even going to be featured now as a zombie.
Right.
But I did like the fast zombies. I mean, obviously, that was the first fast zombies were 28 Days Later zombies.
Yeah, God, that was 28 Days Later. Absolutely terrifying.
It was terrifying.
I actually watched that, I think, with Bert.
Did you?
In his room at Kernington Park,
Yeah.
And the first time, I don't think I watched it all the way through. I think I had a bit of an anxiety attack watching it.
I'm not surprised.
And I remember, like, oh, God, I'm going back next door. I've got to lie down. But then I did watch it all the way through on my own at a later date when I was feeling a bit braver.
No, it's very
braver,
good.
Braver, is that a word? Or was it more brave?
Well, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Whatever.
Whatever. We can do whatever grammar we want on this
braver-er.
Show.
Braverer.
We're not going to be investigated by Ofcom for our shit grammar, are we?
Unfortunately not.
No. Anyway, that film was shot on, for those of you who do filming or interest in the history of film, it was shot on mini DV.
Black Summer?
No.
Oh,
28 Days Later,
Oh, right, okay.
Lots of mini DV cameras. Yeah, it's got, if you look at it, look at the quality of the, it's got this kind of slightly shabby DV. Yes, it works for what it is.
Yeah, I suppose when they do that, sometimes it makes it feel a bit more real. Like
real, yeah, yes. Filmed yes, by rather than glossy. There's nothing glossy about it. There's a real kind of slightly... Anyway. So, very long introduction there, because we're now just going to explain what's coming up on the show. What is coming up to the show? This week, we have a bit of a selection, of course. We have the new RSP quiz, where you can win a PlayStation 5. I haven't run this past Mark yet, because obviously we're going to have to go halves on this, and I think PlayStation 5s aren't cheap. So
go down to Curry's. Yeah, where you used to work. Is it Dixon's or Curry's used to work?
Dixon's.
Yeah, go down there. Mm. Just say, I used to work here, and they said I could borrow this.
I just go down and I say, do you not know who I am?
Don't you
know
who I am?
And they say, yeah, RSP.
I'm Bruce Winwood. You've heard me on Radio Podcast. Oxford every week for the last 3 months.
Oh, yes, it reminds me. I was on last week. Did I tell you?
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
You told me about that.
That's my sixth
song. You've become so blasé about it now. You didn't even tell me.
I didn't tell anyone. I thought, I don't care. I mean, actually, nobody really cares. You put it on Facebook and I think only you go, oh, that's nice. I'll give you a little thumbs up. Well done, Bruce. But yeah, my sixth song was up on radio.
That's brilliant.
BBC Radio Oxford. And it's very funny, isn't it? So yeah, I'll say, look, I'm on BBC Radio. I'm every fucking week. And also co-hosting Brain Starts Play. So give us that PS5 for our fans. Anyway, that quiz is coming up.
Okay.
Then we've also got Mukbang Guy. Mukbang Guy's coming up on the show. Also,
sorry, I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, don't worry, I'll explain when we get to it. Mukbang Guy. Then we've got Lord of the Rings Diversity. That's coming up. Lord of the Rings Diversity. And also we've got UFOs.
Oh, UFOs. Yes, UFOs. Good, I've been reading about UFOs.
You like UFOs. And of course we've got On the Hook with Simon Hook. And it's a good question today. Again, this week, Mark's been doing a lot of prep for that one, haven't you?
Mm.
Yeah. So, what should we start with today, Mark?
I was also going to complain about dust.
Oh, is that your rant?
Yeah, it's not really much of a rant, but it's just... I spent quite a bit of time yesterday, like less than 24 hours ago, in fact, because my whole desk here was just like this massive layer of dust. And I thought, and it'd been like that for a few days, longer, quite a while. I thought, I'll clean all that off. And then I cleaned it like, ah, brilliant. And I just sat down now, and there's like another fucking layer of dust already. Less than 24 hours later. Jeez. What's going on?
well.
Why is there so much dust in my apartment? There's only me living here.
Yeah, it's.
I know it's mostly me.
Yeah, it is mostly you.
And I probably do sit around, like, you know, scratching myself all the time.
It's horrible, isn't it? You know, it's when you watch that. When you watch any program like that that tells you about dust, that dust actually is basically ourselves, bits of our skin ending up all over the place. Whereas we imagine this. I don't know. I used to watch. I was fascinated with kids seeing all the dust in the air when the sun was coming in through the French windows onto the parquet flooring. And I used to watch the dust. And I think, oh, that's lovely. It's kind of quite magical. And imagine elves creating it. But it's just bits of our skin. Isn't it? It's disgusting.
50%, apparently, is human.
So there you go.
Or is it? I looked
50%. Is it that much?
50% of dust in homes is composed of dead skin cells.
Do you think...
That is horrible, isn't
it? So basically, if you're like a teacher, right, and you're in a classroom, and then you've done a whole day's teaching with one particular class. So basically, when you come home, you should shower, shouldn't you? Because otherwise you've got lots of skin cells from kids
around you, haven't you? All up your nose and... in your eyes.
It's horrible.
It's a horrible thought.
I wonder if it gets worse as you get older as well. Do you get more kind of bits coming off you?
That's just a revolting thought, it's lovely, to be honest.
Anyway, I don't have any dust at all because I don't... I am an elfin creature and I don't perspire. I don't molt flesh like you do. Yeah, okay, well, thanks for that, for sharing.
Andrew Love, if you want some graphic design, go to Andrew Love. Andrew Love, Andrew Love, if you want some graphic design, go to Andrew Love. Andrew Love, Andrew Love.
Oh, Andrew, I do love this logo.
So what do you want to start with then? I gave you a list of things to talk about.
Well, I think we also should... Well, there was a couple of things I was going to mention that were not on your list because they were in my head.
Oh, just do them now before we forget.
I don't want to... You're going to hate this, but the heat this weekend, right?
Oh, fucking
was fucking mental.
Okay,
well, I was out yesterday afternoon. Went to meet my friend Chris, Dumbo, part of Brooklyn, to the flea market.
Chris Dumbo.
And when I looked at the
Dumbo
is a no. My friend Chris.
Yeah,
I went to meet him. There's this neighborhood in Brooklyn right by the bridge, Manhattan Bridge, called Dumbo.
Oh, wasn't that interesting? Because we were just talking about Dumbo.
Acronym.
We were just talking about Dumbo, and you went down. That's brilliant. Go on.
It's an acronym for Down Under Manhattan Bridge Overpass. That's because it's this neighborhood that's under Manhattan Bridge.
Oh, okay.
It's probably like when you see a lot of films set
in
a particular period, they always use that location because...
Well, I can see it in my head now.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
I looked at the app in the morning, weather app on my phone, and it said... it's going to rain at noon. So I thought, oh, good. I won't bother putting any sunscreen on. Take my umbrella with me. And by the time I got to meet my friend, it was just baking hot. It was like 90-something degrees.
Gosh.
No sign. The clouds that had been there had all dispersed. And it was like 76% humidity.
Wow.
And I was just like... walking like I'd just been in a pool. I was drenched in sweat, carrying this umbrella. Everyone else is looking at me like, what's he got an umbrella for? Look at that prat there carrying around an umbrella.
Yeah.
They're like, it said it was going to rain at the app. It said it was going to rain. That's why I'm carrying an umbrella. It's not because I'm eccentric. And I'm an Englishman in English New York carrying an umbrella.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was fucking just insanely hot. And it's going to be like that for the next couple of days. Like just... horrible. I just turned the air conditioning off before we started recording because it's too noisy. And already I'm starting to perspire because of this. The humidity. It's not the heat as much as the humidity.
No. Wow. Well, I don't feel... I thought it was going to be quite warm there and I don't feel... I'm not jealous of that. I'm jealous when you get to about 80 degrees and it's blue sky, I'm going, you bastard. But that's too much for me, especially humidity.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible.
I don't have a lot of humility.
You don't.
Humility or humidity. But see, obviously, and you know, probably for speaking to your mother, that we've had the opposite still, don't you?
Well, that's the thing, is that I'm confused because I've been looking. I'm in a bit obsessed with looking at the weather in different parts of the world, particularly where I know people. Yeah. And it was showing Worthing, right, as just being wet for the next 10 days. And I spoke to my mum on Saturday.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, no, it's been lovely here. Oh, really? Well, the weather's...
Well, that we're slipping into a rant here, really, because that's the fucking... don't ever look at the BBC.
It's not the BBC. This is the... isn't it? What's it called? It's just a weather app, like the Weather Channel app that is usually quite accurate, but lately it hasn't been at all. It's been well off.
No, but the BBC one has been... I think it's all gone horribly wrong with the apps and things, because... The BBC one's been appalling. Sometimes it's been appalling in a good way. Sometimes you go, it's meant to be shitting down all day.
Shitting
and then it's
down.
Like, well, it's not at all. It's not, there is not one drop of rain. Yeah. We've had a lot of cloud cover. And that's a bit annoying, is the cloud. I mean, at the moment, it's like living, it's literally the classic Tupperware sky. It's like living inside a Tupperware box at the moment. Mm. So it's not cold, but it's not warm particularly. Yeah, yeah. And it's just a bit meh. It's English weather. But I tell you what it's good for.
Tell me.
I'm going to tell you.
Before I give you an inappropriate answer.
Well, if you thought of an inappropriate answer for that, what's it good for?
Tell me.
So,
what's it good for?
It's good for actually doing stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, doing stuff.
So actually, I'm writing this new series of Eternal Strife.
Are you?
And yeah, I am. You know that because I've sent you the first episode, and you haven't been asked. Yeah, hasn't even been asked to read it. Even though you're fucking starring.
Actually, I'll be honest. It's not that I haven't been asked. I've started reading it, but every time I've got halfway through, I keep getting interrupted. So I've only read that. I don't want to. I mean, so far it's fantastic. That's all. I didn't want to say I was liking it if I'd only read half of it.
That's true.
Because the end might be shit.
It might be shit. No, it's not. But you're not. It's because the weather's literally like it is now. So if the sun came out, I would abandon this show now, and I'd run outside. I'd say, "Cheerio, that's it. We've had 17 minutes of the show. I'm off because we haven't seen the sun for 3 days or something." But because the sun hasn't been out, you can actually go, okay, I'm just stay indoors and I will write. So it is good for writing shit weather. Yes. And I wonder whether, this is a slightly contentious thing I'm going to suggest here, Mark. Do you want to hear it?
I'm here, I'm listening.
Do you think because of our slightly shit English weather, there is a correlation between that and the fact that we punch above our weight a little bit, I would suggest, in the creative sphere?
Yes, like I've always thought that, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the, like, in terms of music, let's say, like, a lot of the great sort of punk and post-punk music that came out of the UK traditionally comes from the sort of quite industrial rundown places that were at the time, Manchester, London, and all these, you know, cities that were struggling. But the weather is a big part of it. It's because people are, you know, you're a teenager and you're like, well, I can't go outside. It's too shit. What am I going to do? Oh, I'll learn to play the guitar and I'll get in a band and we'll make a band together. Yeah. So completely agree. Because if you look at, I mean, if you listen to music from here, this country, like especially like California, you know, like the 1970s, the Eagles and that stuff, all that sort of, it sounds like music that was created somewhere where everyone's like just out in the sun,
happy,
smoking joints and taking it easy. You know, so yeah, you're absolutely right. I agree.
Yes, so I can see that, but it's, you know, it's a bit of a, I mean, what I like to do is if I could control it, is to basically have a grey sky in the morning where you're doing some writing, and then after lunch, out pops the sun,
flick a switch
out onto the hammock, and it doesn't quite work like that, so you have to You get what you're given, and you learn to love it. So,
speaking of the weather, sorry, we'll get on to the other things.
More weather.
No, not weather exactly, but you probably know this, but today is the first day of Wimbledon.
Oh yes,
and it hasn't been on for 2 years.
course, we're being huge sports fans.
Well, I'm not a huge sports fan, but I am somewhat of a tennis fan, and I do like watching Wimbledon. Yeah,
that is sport. You do know that's sport, though, don't you?
Yeah, but it's not. I don't really think of it as sport. I think of it's a bit more. I find some reason to me tennis is more sophisticated than team sports. I don't know why that is. I think it's because they're you know. Anyway, so I put it on this morning, and I thought, oh, brilliant! I'm going to watch a bit of Wimbledon live the first time. Turned it on. And they're like showing a rerun of something from 2 years ago because it was raining.
Is it raining?
Yeah. I'm like, sorry. The irony of it, like, well, not the irony, but, you know, 2 years of waiting after the pandemic. And it's like, oh, well, everyone's here, but it's raining. But then they did have a match started on centre court with this young 19-year-old British player, Jack Draper, against Novak Djokovic. And he was one set up.
Wow.
The young guy when I had to switch off. To talk to you, so I'm sure
he was one set up.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll.
Novak is the number one.
Novak,
isn't he?
That's like some from like Carry On tennis. Oh, Mr. Novak.
But isn't he? Is he number one?
He's the number one. Yeah,
Hang
so, and there was a very moving introduction. They had an announcement, you know, thanking. They had some NHS workers there. And there was a standing ovation, and then they had Tom Moore's, one of his daughters, and had a little thing to him. Yeah. So it was quite moving, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So
gosh.
That's all my stuff. We can now move on to the real things.
Right, the real things. So, the real things. Okay, are they real? Okay, well, let's start with...
scheduled programming, I mean.
Yes, usual programming. And let's start with Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings and diversity. Something I read in the paper.
Which paper would this be? The Times?
This would be the Sunday Times, anyone I buy. And basically, every year they have a Lord of the Rings convention thing. And since 1969, Society. And of course, this year, the last year, it was on Zoom. So it's on Zoom again. But anyway, so this year they're doing, the title is Diversity and Lord of the Rings. Well, diversity in Tolkien and diversity. So the papers to be presented include Gondor in Transition, a brief introduction to transgender realities in Lord of the Rings. This one here, Tolkien's Dwarf Women and the Feminine Lack. And this one here is particularly fascinating because I had to look up two of the words. Something mighty queer, destabilizing cis hetero amatonormativity, cis hetero. Oh, I think I practiced this as well, and it's just gone wrong. I had to look up all those words, cis hetero amatonormativity, in the works of Tolkien. So I thought it was quite interesting actually because, I have in the past, you know. Are you quite familiar with the book as well as the films?
Oh, yes, I've read Lord of the Rings twice.
There we go.
Not.
So this is quite good. We talk about this. So I'm obviously in Lord of the Rings. It's pretty much just blokes.
Yes, it is.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's blokes in Middle Earth. And it's quite funny because you kind of, when you watch the movies, you go, ah, okay. So actually, you know, there's Arwen. There's the elfin lady who gets off with Aragorn at the end and everything. Gets off with him. And then, of course, there's Iluin. Is that how you pronounce it?
Iluin.
Who is the horse, Iluin, who is the daughter of the King of Rohan. And she said, well, she gets a fair bit of screen time. So that's quite good. And, of course, Lady Galadriel as well, played by Kate Blanchett. But in the books, this isn't the case. In the books...
No.
Arwen doesn't really.
Well, Arwen only gets mentioned in the what's it called, the index or something at the end, like the.
But does she not get mentioned in the book at all? She
doesn't even make an appearance in the actual book.
It doesn't make it. And Iluin does. She does, but not in the same way. Does she? She pops up, but not. Does she do all the stuff that she does in the film? I just don't think she does. I think she's
I don't remember, but she does actually have a role in the in the book, but I don't think it's.
She doesn't sort of.
They were definitely. The, it was definitely expanded for the films.
She doesn't kill the head Nazgul guy, does she? Often.
I don't think so. I think that's someone else in the book.
Added on. So anyway, so yeah, basically, you know, the Fellowship, bunch of blokes, the wizards, blokes, the evil ones, sort of like orky blokes, yeah. Dwarfs, blokes. I think you see a few female hobbits, but none of them are actual characters.
Right.
I don't think they get to say anything or do anything. No. Really, even in the books, or even in the film, really, I think they kind of. So, but it kind of makes sense because this is an Oxford Don writing this back in the 30s.
50s.
So, 50s?
Yeah.
30s? 40s? Well, no, he wrote it over like 20 years, didn't he?
I think it was published, I think, 1951.
Was it 50? Yeah, okay. So, it kind of makes sense. But, however, in saying that, what I thought was quite interesting was Frodo and Sam.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mark? Frodo and Sam.
What do you mean? What do I think?
Well, they're definitely quite fond of each other.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And I think that fondness does go beyond.
Well,
not explicitly, but.
Interesting, you say that.
Go on.
Because I was listening. I don't know if I listen occasionally to this show, Radio 4 program with Michael Rosen. What's it called now? Something.
Oh, it's very good. I hear that. Sometimes.
Really, yeah, really, really good.
Yeah,
and really there was good. One a few weeks ago that I listened to that was really interesting when he was talking about shipping. It was called, and I thought, what's that?
Yeah.
And so this is sort of a thing in the world of fandom where people will write fan fiction, quite detailed, lengthy fan fiction about relationships between characters in. Fiction, quite often, same-sex characters like Kirk and Spock, and Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, and sort of create a whole other like romantic relationship. So they didn't mention Frodo and Sam, but I imagine that probably does exist out there in the world of fan fiction that people have created like a romantic relationship between the two of them. But yeah, I mean. They definitely have a bromance, to use that word.
They definitely have a bromance,
You know?
Yeah. But I mean, and maybe that's as far as, you know, your Oxford Don can go with that. And he should be surrounded by like, lots of other male Dons and everything. It's an incredibly male world. I think he was married, wasn't he? He was, of course he was. He was married, yeah. And everything. But so those two definitely. And Lady Galadriel.
Yeah,
definitely dominatrix. Do you not think?
I haven't thought about it before, to be honest. But I like the idea.
I reckon definitely dominatrix.
Yeah.
Because when she, I mean, I know it's probably more the film than the book.
Yeah.
But when Lady Galadriel gets a bit kind of like miffy, or a bit like, you know, the scene with Frodo where, with the mirror and everything, and she says, "Look into the mirror," and everything, and then he says, "You take the ring, I don't want it," and she goes, "Whoa, I become you," and you think, "Bloody hell, you'd be fucking sex. That is sexy. That is scary dominatrix, Lady Galadriel." Yeah. So I definitely think that I'm a bit confused by the transgender side of it. I don't know what that. I'd be interested to know to go to that one. Find transgender realities of Lord of the Rings.
It's interesting that they were that Lord of the Rings would become looked at in that way because it is so clearly a very very male dominated
of its time.
Well, even not necessarily of its time because and even at the time it was criticised. First of all, when it first came out, as having no female characters, even
Was it? I didn't know that.
And it was actually received very poorly in the world of literary criticism, as dismissed as a bit childish and not taken seriously. It's only really later on, I guess, when it became popular. It's been sort of
people changed their tunes.
Well,
not necessarily
changed their tunes, but like people grew up and then it was looked back on in a different light. I mean, I think it's a masterpiece, really. I mean, I'm not like a massive reader, but I think one of the things I like about it is the fact that there are all those very warm male relationships, especially probably because a lot of us grew up without having very warm male relationships, like with our dads or whatever, do you know?
That's what you mean.
So yeah. It's kind of a, in that sense, yes. A fantasy world that is really appealing. Mm.
And those are particularly, that, yes, and also very much related to, and I'm sure during one of these talks, they will touch on the fact that, you know, Tolkien was in the trenches, First World War, and went to war with three of his mates, and he came back on his own. So three of his mates died. So that, the idea of fellowship, male bonding, you know, bonding in a war, there's probably nothing quite like it, band of brothers and everything else. So you can see, yes, I totally understand what you're saying. And I suppose just when you look at the lack of, you it is quite funny when you think there are no women dwarfs. Mm.
Yeah.
There are no women in the fellowship. There are no women. I mean, they do, yeah.
It does seem pretty extraordinary now, actually, thinking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, things have changed a lot in the last few
years. Because
there's
lots of characters in there, aren't there? There's
hundreds of characters.
You might stumble across one or two more female characters on your way.
Even like the Ents, like not even the tree creatures, they're all male. And the orcs are all male. And the virtually everything is male, apart from the elves, where there are some female characters.
Yeah. Oh, yes, the elves. Well, there are, but I mean, yeah, I can't. Yeah, they're just elves, aren't they? Are they kind of asexual elves in Lord of the Rings? Just come across.
Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Maybe that's what they're. Maybe that's the transgender role in.
Oh, that could be the Lord of the Rings is the elves.
Yeah, you're right. They do come across as a bit gender neutral.
gender neutral.
If that's the
gender
right
neutral
phrase.
Yeah, gender neutral. Gender neutral. I always find it very difficult when Arwen was there with Aragorn, because when she spoke, she didn't really move her lips, did she?
I really like Liv Tyler as an actress.
So do I.
But
yeah.
I hated her in Lord of the Rings. Found it just, for some reason, it was just so po-faced.
Yeah, very po. Very po, yeah.
And it's like every word was just like imbued with this extreme sort of sad emotion. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Mm. Yeah. You wanted Aragorn to tickle her. And she goes,
why did they go, pull yourself together, love. It's only a war.
Come on. Stop floating over the ground. You're floating again, aren't you? You're not walking properly. Floating through the world, looking sad.
Is that your new song that's going to be on Radio Oxygen this week? Wood.
You're floating in the world. There was a girl we knew at school called Rachel something, and lots of.
Oh, I knew someone Rachel called Rachel Sadler. Something. Maybe it's the same one.
Rachel Sadler. If you're listening to the show, she's not Sadler anymore. But anyway, it'd be quite extraordinary if she was or ever did. But anyway, lots of people fancied her, I remember back then. I mean, we're thinking she doesn't really walk, does she? She just floats.
Maybe that was just your.
She just floats.
Perception.
Because we fancied her.
Yeah.
She floats. She just floated past like an attractive Dalek. No, Daleks. No, that's not so good, is it? She
like
was
an attractive
Dalek. Dalek. She was pretty hot. Okay. So anyway, hi Rachel. If you listen to the show, that's never going to happen. So good. Okay, I think we've done that. Interesting to know. If anyone's going to go to that Zoom that conference, quite interesting what's going on there.
Have you ever been to to anything like that? Those conventions, like fan conventions.
No, I haven't.
I actually would quite like to go to one just to sort of see. But I'd like to go to a Doctor Who convention.
Of course, you would.
Just to see.
Yeah.
I think it would be really fun.
Yeah.
Seeing everybody dressed up and like a lot of real geeks.
I'd
definitely be into that.
Yeah. I know. I remember when I was working with Nicola Bryant, of course.
of course.
Who played...
Yeah, you and Jelly have both worked with Doctor Who people. And she...
Doctor Who people. Well, she's actually worked with like the King
on Doctor Who actual Big Finish productions.
Yeah. Are we meant to say that? Is it a secret? I don't know.
No, she's been on some that have already come out, so...
Oh, yeah, it's fine, yeah. Yes, she has, yes. Anyway, yes, it would be quite fun. We should go, two of us. Let's say it's something we'll do. We'll both go to a convention. Isn't that amazing? To imagine how many steps there are to get to that from where we are now, you in Brooklyn, me here, pandemic, for us to both go to a convention for Doctor Who
together.
Lots of people together, lots of people milling around. The chances of those things all coming together before we die.
Oh, I think it's possible.
I'd like to go. I'd like to.
All right, let's.
Is it Doctor Who then? Is that the one we're going for?
Yeah, they're all over the world. They have them.
Yeah, not they Star. Have them. No, I don't want
not
to
Star,
Star
Trek.
Wars.
Now, I mean, I like Star. Yeah. Oh, Star Wars, right?
No, not.
No, I think Doctor Who would be more enjoyable.
Yeah, we'd probably bump into Nicola. She's probably still doing them.
Yeah, probably. It's probably her only source of income these days. Sorry, that was weird.
Well, I think it was. Yeah, it was certainly quite good for. I think she just spoke very honestly about it. That it was good. Some dollar in that, and that was quite a few years ago. So anyway, so there we go. Over to, UFOs now, Mark.
Okay, excellent. What about
should
them?
We do it? Should we do UFOs? Well, have you not read recently what the Pentagon's been saying about you? What's it said, Mark?
Well, I think from what I understood, they said they don't call them UFOs, they call them UAPs.
Oh, yes.
Unidentified aerial phenomena. And I remember at school when I was in my sixth form, I had a teacher who was very, very into, I mean, surprisingly, he was the English teacher.
Yeah.
And then he suddenly sort of came out as this UFO fanatic. And he did a sixth form assembly one time about it, and he called them UAPs back then.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, this is brilliant. And anyway, well, so yeah, right about it.
He knows all the lingo. Go on.
It's all the lingo, UAP. Whoa, it must be real. And so the Pentagon, or the government over here, has just released these documents, haven't they? And there are, I think, a couple of hundred cases of people seeing UFOs, UAPs, and they said they can't identify them. They're not. They were genuinely not able to say what the cause of these things were, though they probably were atmospheric things, or just, you know, other countries' technologies that they don't know about, or even within the U.S. government, you know, U.S. military equipment that is generally is not known about. So it's quite interesting.
Very interesting. I mean, I think they identified one. I think it was 147, something like that. And they identified one, which was a deflating balloon, apparently.
Yeah, it was just an old sock that just was like caught in the corner of your lens.
They're probably going through all of them, and all of them are really mysterious and like, wow. And then someone's chucked in one of an old sock, just to sort of see whether they're
Obviously like a tinfoil plate on a wire.
Hang on a minute.
Oh, which will lead me on to something else later on.
All right. Well, okay, we'll hang on to that thought.
I will.
We haven't left this one yet.
No, I know.
So that's right. It's been latest news that they remain unidentified, which I don't know how does that leave people feeling? Because obviously, if you're a conspiracy theorist-y person, you're big on that, then you'll be going, whoa, whoop, whoop. But it's so... just because they're not identified, in a sense, doesn't mean shit, does it, in some ways?
So you're right. Conspiracy theorists will be saying, that's just what they're saying. They know very well that they are alien craft, but they can't reveal that because it's too frightening, because then we'll know the truth.
Yeah.
And that we're all just about to be, or we already are part of and imagine that, we could be, this could be a massive experiment that is being conducted by some superior, massively advanced alien race. It's like they've started this hundreds of thousands, millions of years ago, you know, put some life form on this planet and just see what happens over. It's like the biggest experiment ever created, millions of years. And they've now evolved into these beings who go around killing each other and think that they're all some kind of superstar and have interesting things to say. That's a bit disappointing. Oh, fuck that. We're off back to our own planet. Let them
go. I do like the idea of the experiment. I think it's... I mean, I love the classic Hitchhiker's one, that basically that this planet was made as a supercomputer by the mice.
Right.
And so, you know, we were just totally sort of nothing to do with, nothing of importance, but the, who, what was important was the mice,
yeah,
who created the supercomputer to answer the question, what's the answer to, what's the question for the, not, what was the question for the answer to the answer to the meaning of the universe is 42. So this planet was created to, as a supercomputer that would be able to know what the question was.
Right.
That was it. Yeah. I got there in the end. So I quite like that one, but I like yours, that we're just one great big experiment.
It would explain guys, a lot.
It would explain a lot, wouldn't it? So we were seeded. So who seeded it? Is it going back down to like Prometheus kind of territory here? Were we seeded at some point?
Some super being.
Like, seeded us.
Way yeah. back in.
Yeah.
Many, many, many millennia ago.
So they can live for a very long time, I presume, because if or we're going it's just, back to...
Not necessarily.
Well, it must be. If they were evolved at the beginning when we were like single-cell organisms. And
yeah, but it
were,
could be okay. something that's gone on for... There's just been an ongoing thing.
Generations.
Or maybe they live in an alternate time where...
Yes, I think they
like
have to
one
do that.
Day for them is like 100,000 years
yes.
of human...
Do you reckon Einstein's theory of relativity could help us there somehow?
Yeah.
Because of that. It probably can. I don't know how that
yeah.
would... A warping Definitely. Time. They can warp time. They could pop out through black holes back to their time, and then they could pop back here, and it's millions of years later. But for them, it's been a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And they go, "Ooh, how's it? It's like watching. It's like boiling something up on the cooker, isn't it? Oh, how's it coming on?" And the timer goes off, and they go, "Ooh, let's go through the black hole and just check up. Ooh, look what they've invented now.
Yeah,
the humans.
Well, imagine if they keep coming in and checking yeah. and going. Yeah, it's gone." It's gone wrong. I think it's time to abort the experiment.
They could be having
just leave it a bit. Just leave it a bit longer. Bit longer. Give it another day. Check it in another day, and then we'll. If they're still killing each other, we'll just just blow the whole thing up.
Well, maybe the ultimate threat is if they keep popping back. Is that they kind of say, well, look, you're allowed to keep this experiment going. Maybe it's a bunch of university kids in this other place. Yeah. And they said, you can keep this experiment going, right? But as soon as it looks like they're going to get into interstellar space, okay, and this thing, like a virus, is going to spread into the rest of the universe, and we can't control that. Then
right.
before they're allowed to leave the planet, then we'll have to make a decision about whether we stop them. Yeah, squash it and say, we can't let these... There was some announcement today from, was it Elon Musk or something like that, talking about, you know, it's our duty and we must go out and colonise the universe. And you do wonder whether someone like that is looking and thinking, you know, we can't... They're
so,
okay
sunshine.
If they're contained. They're contained. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they can go to Mars. Well, maybe let them go to Mars, because Mars is shit anyway. Fuck planet.
Right.
But we mustn't let them get into interstellar space, because they're not... You can't really trust them, can you? They're a bit shit.
Oh my god, this is starting to freak me out a bit. Good job I'm not stoned, because others would be like, oh, man.
But I like it's a great idea. You know, I've never thought of that. This grand experiment by these people just popping in and out. I did think once it'd be quite funny that the only time that a because the universe is so insanely huge, but the only time that a spaceship has ever come close. Was when we were going through the it's called not golf ball period, not golf ball, snowball Earth, when the Earth was completely covered in ice, and completely, and that was it. But the single cell organism was still going on underneath, and then the volcanoes went kapoo and it warmed up again. But there was like 2-3 million years when it's just a great big snowball. And I just imagine that's when the spacecraft came past and they went, oh, there's nothing there. Look, it's just snow. Just snow. Fuck all. Off we go. And they put it on a chart, say, should we come back? It's like, there's no point. It's just this big, it's all snow. Yeah. Nothing there. Nothing could live there.
Right.
Anyway. Very good. That's interesting,
quite
isn't
interesting,
it?
Interesting, that. Yeah.
Maybe we should put a warning at the beginning of the show saying, if you are stoned out your head, be careful.
Yeah.
This show. Put it in the blurb. Be careful.
Okay. Trigger warning.
Trigger warning. I like that. So, should we do the hook?
Let's do it.
On the hook with Simon. answers questions we do slay. Unrinsed up slay.
What's the question, Mark?
Oh shit, you want me to actually ask the question? I've got I've prepared my answers, but I haven't actually got the question from you.
Give me a moment.
Well,
we should be able to. I can paraphrase it.
I've got it.
Go on, do it.
Fine, fellas. What is the worst film you have voluntarily watched through to the end?
Okay. Now, you've done far more than I have in terms of watching films to the end that are shit, haven't you?
I spend all my time watching shit films to the end, I feel.
If you start with 12 in a Box, though, I'm not having that.
I'm not going to do that.
But you're not tempted to put that in your list.
Yeah, of course I was.
Just 12 in a Box.
We'll do that. Fuck 12 in a Box, yeah. I don't know who made it, but fucking hell.
Fucking hell. Yeah, go on.
You want me to? Okay, I've got quite a long list.
Do it.
And I'll start I'm going to start with one that is very obviously terrible, and I'm sure you'll agree. Go down to a few that you might think, that's outrageous that you're saying that. But, okay, I'd say if you're looking at films that genuinely are just terrible from beginning to end without really any redeeming features, then top of my list is Plan 9 from Outer Space by Ed Wood.
Oh, right. Well, okay.
Have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't, no.
Oh, my God. It is. That was when you said earlier, when I mentioned about tin plates, tin foil plates, because, I mean, that the special effects in that are literally like plates. You can see the wire, this spaceship.
But I presume you what, because he was obviously famous for doing sub-B movies, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he didn't, so.
Not even B movies, they were like grade Z.
But weren't they, isn't that part of the charm? They were so shit.
Well, that's the thing. See,
is that why you watched it to the end?
Yeah, because so I didn't even know who Ed Wood was until that film Ed Wood with Johnny Depp came out. Yeah. Yeah. And then I watched that and thought, I've got to see Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Yeah.
And I watched it. And the thing is, it is terrible, but it's not even so terrible that it's good. It's just boring. Right. It's really,
really
quite boring.
Okay. Yeah.
And I mean, it's like, you know, those Flash Gordon, Buster Crabbe, Flash Gordon.
Yeah. Bzzz,
those were exciting and entertaining, but still not very good.
Yeah.
This is like that, but just like a really dull version of it and nonsensical.
Well, I would say actually that. Sorry, just very quickly, a little side one because you mentioned Flash Gordon. Flash Gordon is shit. No, I enjoyed it when I saw it.
The 1981.
Yeah, when I saw it in the cinema. No, when I saw it. I watched it. Yeah. I thought, this is fire. And then I saw it again recently. I thought, it's just awful. I mean, it is awful.
Well, I've watched that quite a few times. I haven't seen it probably for about 20 years. And awful. I do remember really liking it when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah, me
and
too.
I do remember really liking it again when I watched it as an adult.
Okay.
But I haven't seen it for quite a long time. And then probably would be... I have very fond memories of that.
His acting, whoever he... the guy who... We didn't see him again in anything. Again,
apart from... Him. He's played a cameo.
Wayne's World. Was it Wayne's World? No.
Well, it might be, but that movie Ted.
Oh, Ted, yes.
With the teddy bear. He makes an appearance in that as himself.
Yes,
in a sort of fantasy sequence, which is quite funny.
It is very funny. But he's a bit like... In terms of acting style, it's like... That Baptista guy. Baptista from Army of the Dead? He's like him, isn't he?
Well, he's like the sort of opposite of that in the sense that he's like too animated, but very terrible from what I remember.
Okay.
Wasn't he like a porn actor or something like that?
I don't know.
I think he was someone who came from...
Used to watch those porn
films. Well, I just remember hearing...
Mark.
Have you never seen...
He was in...
Have you never watched Flesh Gordon?
No, but I wanted to. Because I remember as a kid, everyone was talking about, have you seen Flesh Gordon? Have you seen Flesh Gordon? I never did.
Dr. Jerkoff.
Did you ever see it?
Yeah, I've seen it once. And it is very funny, yeah.
I bet it is funny, yeah. I'd like to see it.
It's definitely as good as Flesh Gordon.
Yeah.
Sorry, Plan 9 from Outer Space is up there. The acting is just abysmal in every single role. Mm. And there's like, the thing that just sticks in my mind is there's a scene where they're supposed to be in a plane and they're sitting there clearly on just like garden chairs or something with these things in their hand, and then the background is a curtain. It's just like a shower curtain, and it's just so just beyond cheap. It's like just no budget whatsoever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So Edward was a proper fantasist, wasn't he, I presume?
Yeah, I mean, he thought he was making these masterpieces, you know?
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting, though. It's interesting. I've never seen one of his films. I'd like to see the film Edward now you've spoken about that, because that's quite fascinating.
Oh, it is good. It's really, it's very entertaining.
Okay, next film?
Well, I've got three that I'll group together, because they're all in the Pink Panther series of films.
Ah.
So it's Curse of the Pink Panther.
Yeah.
Which is fucking awful, which doesn't even have Peter Sellers in it.
Okay.
It's got does it have
Peter Sellers in it? No. Right.
Trail of the Pink Panther, which is one that made a compilation, one sort of made after he died.
Really?
Which features outtakes from all the other Pink Panther films.
What, and they cobbled it together and passed it off as a narrative feature film? Wow.
I think that's the one that's with David Niven sort of recalling animated. He's a very old, elderly and ill in that as well, and then the worst in some ways, Son of the Pink Panther, which came out about 25 years ago with Roberto Benigni playing the son of Inspector Clouseau.
Gosh.
And it's just like he's really funny, but that film is just so creaky and embarrassing.
Oh Lord.
And that was one of those ones I wanted to leave, but I kept thinking, maybe it'll get better, maybe it'll... And it didn't. It's just terrible.
Oh, dear. Because that's the worst, isn't it? When you actually have something which...
Started off really, really good.
Yeah, it started off really well, and then it just... Geez, I haven't seen any of those versions.
No.
Wow.
I could go on.
Yeah, do, please.
All right, well... I was a big fan of the original Superman film with Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, yeah.
Christopher Reeve. Brilliant. Superman 2, brilliant. Superman 3, pretty rubbish, really. But then Superman 3 was a masterpiece compared to Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. Have you ever seen that?
No.
I didn't see it at the time because I think it had such a small release. It was like 1987. And I got it out on video in the 90s, and it's just fucking god-awful rubbish.
Like,
Christopher Reeve again, yeah. He wrote it, I think, and he directed it.
Oh, no.
He definitely directed it. I'm not sure if he wrote it.
No.
And it's basically about Superman saving the world from Nuclear Man. It's got a very, very obvious subplot of it being about ridding the world of nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
Just quite sort of cringe-inducing in its morality.
Yeah.
And it's just like they clearly didn't have anywhere near the budget that they had on the other films, so all the special effects, it looks like a TV, like 1980s Doctor Who in terms of the special effects. It's just like absolute rubbish.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's Dolph Lundgren, you know,
who
plays Nuclear Man, and it's just, it's really shoddy and the story's terrible.
And but you watched it to the end.
I watched it to the end, and he's just like all the way through, like overly. It's very po-faced as well.
Yeah,
just absolute dreadful.
The problem is, some of these films I'm now so intrigued about that I want to watch.
No, really, it's not worth watching. It'll sully your memories of the earlier better ones. I think.
Keep going. This is fascinating because I haven't watched as many shit films as you have. So obviously, all the way
you might have seen this one. Are you a fan of the Star Trek films?
Oh yeah.
Star Trek V.
Oh God,
the Final Frontier, which is
is that after the Wrath of Khan? Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, Wrath of Khan was number 2.
Oh, was it 2? Oh,
Search
was
for Spock was number 3.
Oh, okay.
The Voyage Home, which was a good one with the whales.
Oh yes. Set,
that was number 4, and then they made this one, The Final Frontier, with which William Shatner directed. It was his first time directing a Star Trek film, and it is bloody. That's also bloody awful. Because a lot of it is played for laughs.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the trailer for it, and there's a bit where Scotty's walking down the corridor and then he bangs his head and it goes doink. Right. And I was like, oh, this doesn't bode well.
No.
And there's just the only scene I can remember, the story is just, I think, just preposterous. It was like some Vulcan who might be Spock's brother who. is might be God. He might be like a god or something.
Right.
Don't remember anything about the story at all, apart from it's just really boring and terrible. But at the end, it ends on the worst thing about it is Spock, McCoy, and Kirk sitting around a campfire singing "Row, row, row your boat" in a round, and that's how it ends. It's like, oh, this is terrible.
And at that point, they decided they wouldn't make any more feature-length versions with that.
I think it
song,
did almost they? Kill the whole Star Trek thing, but then they came back with a good one.
Yeah,
but yeah, bloody hell! So that's terrible.
Wow.
So those are all the ones that I think you might.
Wow.
That's, but I've got a list of others that I really didn't like that probably you might go, because I know you're a Bond film enthusiast.
Well, let's, okay, well, before we do that, I've only got one
for you've got, okay, bring it, yes.
I think I've only got one.
Right.
I really just tried, because we'd said this earlier, that the problem is, at home, I don't go to the cinema, really, these days. And, but I watch a lot of films at home. I say watch, but if you start to watch them and you go, nah, you just turn it off. So I can't fulfill the criteria about, you know, going all the way through. But I turned off this film that won an Oscar called Roma.
Oh, right.
In the credit sequence. It's such a boring, ponderous, po-faced credit sequence. Right. I thought, this is going to be a parlor wank. It might not have been parlor wank, but I thought, I have no energy for this. This is ridiculously long and ponderous. It just stank of wank.
Ooh, I like that.
Stank-a-wank. And obviously, we talked about... So hang on, we want to roll here. Stank-a-wank. And then, of course, there's Mank, that one that's also been the one with Gary Oldman and everything.
Yeah.
And you haven't watched it ever. No. Have a go. All I say to you is have a go. I'd like to see if you could get to the end.
Right.
I'd like to, because I've tried twice and I've given up twice. And I thought, I can't...
Yeah, again, I was put off because Mark Kermode... gave a really bad review, and I generally think that he's quite on the money for...
Oh, did he? Well, thank goodness he did, because, I mean, it was nominated for fucking Oscar, and it's like, oh, piss off.
Right.
Piss off. It's so wanky. A proper wank. It's like... And they just needed... They needed a fucking... One of those producers needed to have the balls to go up to the director, Fincher, and say, I know your dad wrote the script. I know your dad wrote the script, right? But we need to do something about the script, right? Okay. Because
the whole thing.
The whole thing. It needs a big fat script editor who'll go in there and probably tear out about 98%, and you probably wouldn't have a film at the end of it. So that was the problem with that. So the only film I've got for you, I've watched all the way through, and again, I had to watch all the way through. I didn't have to, but I was, because I was with a girlfriend at the time, and that was, can you guess?
I think I'm going to guess, but I'll let you
can't
say.
Guess what film was
is that? Oxford Lady Godiva film?
Oh, no, not that one. No.
Oh,
no. Oh, shit, yeah, that one. I forgot about that one.
Oh, right, yeah. I was wrong. Okay.
No, that's forgotten about that.
Right.
Yeah, I did have to sit through that. And it was awful. But, so yes, there is, but I was thinking about kind of proper films. So, was Mamma Mia...
Right, yes, that was on my list of films that people like that I think are terrible.
I sat through that film to the end because it was a girlfriend, and it was horrible. I was gasping for air. I thought, this is foul. And I like ABBA.
I know, that's the thing. I like ABBA too, but
horrible.
I watched on a plane one time because it's like, well, may as well watch it, and I just like. I kept rolling my eyes like every few minutes. Like, this is just,
and I'm not trying to be. I'm not being snobby about it. Like, oh no, it's just not. Oh, it's just songs, and they're just dancing around. I'm not being snobby because I love a fucking good musical. I love things like musical film, like Jesus Christ Superstar or Fiddler on the Roof or West Side Story. They were fucking brilliant films, but this was just toss, lazy fucking toss. I mean, the only good bit was Pierce Brosnan trying to sing. I mean, that was quite good. She thought, this is quite sort of entertaining. James Bond doesn't really sing, and also looks, when he's singing the song, or he's looking very like he wants to fart, holding back a really bad fart. His face is really straining. So.
Yeah,
it's just horrible. So I think that's the only one I've got for you. Yeah, apart from Godiva.
Well, I agree with that.
That was kind of doesn't really count, I think. But
Well, speaking of Pierce Brosnan, I hope this won't be offensive to your ears as a Bond movie fan, but I think all of his James Bond films are not very good, but the one I really, really hated was GoldenEye. And I can't even say why exactly, just something about it. I think as soon as they introduced that character called Xena on a top, I was like, that's just fucking stupid. That's just taking that whole like double entendre to a level of stupidity.
This isn't the one with Christmas comes early, or that line. It's not with the character called Christmas.
And no.
They call her Christmas because the whole thing about calling her Christmas is because then he can make the joke about and Christmas comes early or something. Was that Christmas
comes? It might be. I don't remember which one that was.
It's not with nuclear. I was going to say, what is it about? But that's the one. Sean Bean's in that one.
Sean Bean, yeah. Yeah. Mm. I don't remember anything about it. I remember hating it. I've blanked it out.
It did have a bit where I thought even in the realms of Bond, it was like pushing the envelope in terms of believability, because the opener of it, he's escaping from a Russian base, Russian prison.
Right, right.
And you remember the plane goes off the edge of the runway and then he jumps through the air. And
into
then,
another plane.
No, into the same plane. So he follows the plane that's flying down and then he manages to get into the cockpit, and then before it hits, I thought that's just going a bit too far, Mr. Bond, really.
It's like suddenly turning into a superhero.
Yeah, it was a bit, without... and I wasn't really... It was the first of the Pierce Brosnans as well. Maybe that's why he didn't like it.
Yeah, I just don't like Pierce Brosnan as James Bond. He's just always had that sort of pouty look, like Zoolander. Yeah. Is it Zoolander?
Yeah.
Blue Steel look,
yeah. Yes, he does.
I was like, oh, for God's
But interestingly enough, I've seen him in much better films since. He's got older and grislier.
Yeah, he's not. He's actually. I like him as a person and as an actor. He's.
But you're
just
right.
He was Bond. He was
Bond.
Too po-faced.
Again. Do you think, talking of Bond, before we have to heading towards the end of the show, I think. But talking of Bond, did we? Do you have any strong feelings about Bond being a woman?
I don't really care.
Okay. Don't care is your answer.
Yeah. I think they should just stop making... I mean, enough James Bond films that you don't need to make any more. I mean, I understand that it's basically a license to print a lot of money, although...
But now that... Oh, what's his face? Jeff Bezos has bought MGM, which means...
Oh, I didn't know
that. Eon owned the kind of rights to it, but the pressure is now bringing upon them basically to spin this out to TV franchise shit. So to TV franchise Bond thing. But the reason about the women question is I asked Katie that question because it came up in the paper, and she said she didn't think it should be a woman because actually Bond is... Because then you just got a new character.
Yeah, I mean, why not just create something similar with a strong female lead?
Yes,
why
but, make but Bond is that dinosaur
misogynistic
kind of fucked up kind of... That's the coldness of the character. If you're going to be really true to the books is that basically he's a fucked up person, really, but there's a pathology behind him, that's why he's able to do certain things. That's why I thought he was one of my favorite Bonds is actually Casino Royale, not the original, but the first of the what's his faces in it.
Yeah,
I like that. Got stripped back, and I liked the I thought that was good. That was just a good film, actually. Forget if it's Bond or whatever. But
it was, yeah.
I'm going to hold back on Mukbang Guy to next week, I think, because I don't.
Oh right,
have time.
Yeah, we have got.
And also, I'm going to quickly do the quiz, am I? Otherwise, it's
the
not
quiz.
Fair.
Yeah, don't forget that.
Okay. So this is to win everybody a PS5, PlayStation 5, which I think is quite difficult to get hold of, but because of my connections within Dixon's, I know that I can get one of these, and also the fact that I'm a local celebrity because I've had 6 songs played up on BBC Radio Oxford.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So here's the question. Now, I had to come up with a question that you can't Google, because you can Google everything these days, but you won't be able to Google this. Okay, so what book am I looking at now? I'm looking at a book. What book is it I am looking at right now?
Well, this is almost unanswerable question.
It's difficult. It's fiendishly difficult. But it's not unanswerable, Mark. I'm sure there's...
Well, it's not unanswerable because, I mean, you know, if you name every single book that's ever been published,
at some point
you're going to... What has it not been published?
I think if people have been listening to the show, Here's the clue.
Right.
People being listening to the show, they might get this. But you have to have listened to every episode of Rain Stops Play and every episode of Earcon, which is about 85 episodes. Right. But if you'd listen to all of those, as you should have done as fans, then you'd probably be able to piece together what book I'm looking at right now.
Can I ask a question here?
Not that it give mustn't not if it gives
no,
away
no, no.
the question. Does it going to get? It's not a big
no,
clue,
no,
is
not
it?
It's not a clue.
Go on, go on.
It's what are you going to do if somebody seriously answers the question?
Yeah.
And actually gets it right.
Well, I'll be down to Dixon's buying a PS5, whatever PS5 is. By the way, I don't.
You realise we've got this? It's actually being recorded. What you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, sure.
Right,
but
okay.
That's the risk you play when you have an RSP quiz.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Good. Have you got anything coming up, Mark? Have you got anything coming up?
I've got a...
Exciting. Exciting.
Sort of like James Bond. Something's come up.
Oh,
I have.
Dearie. Go on,
actually,
tell me.
I am got a rehearsal on Wednesday night with Silver Relics, which will be
excellent.
Enjoyable. Thursday, I am going down to North Carolina for a week, taking Ruby to see her grandparents, and I will be down there for 1 week.
Nice.
In the swampy heat of North Carolina.
You could do some swampy heat, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, very nice. So, actually, will you not be here for next? Are we
that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I'm going to. I forgot to mention that there won't be a Royal Rain Stops Play next week because I won't be here to record it. Yes, good job I remembered that.
isn't it? Because I'm very busy these days, and I book out this time. And you were just going to be fucking.
I know.
So we'll be resuming in. So there won't be one until
two weeks.
2 weeks' time, there'll be another one that comes out. Okay, well, we'll have a lovely time then.
Well, thank you very much.
There, in swampy land.
Mm.
And, brilliant. Thank you very much for listening, everybody.
All right.
And don't forget to listen to Mark's show on Friday,
there won't be a show this Friday.
Okay.
Because I'll be in North Carolina.
The only time I've bothered to remember to promote it is the 1 week.
No, you promote it every week, very kindly.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. Oh, there's no show. There's no radio show either.
Not this
week.
Wow.
God, no. It's disappointing, isn't it? Oh, well. All right.
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.